This is Life Autistic, you're listening to. That's not usually how I say it, is it? Oh well, that's okay. It still gets the point across. This is Jay Nemro, unsurprisingly, in the car, going wherever it is I'm going. Yeah. Not that it matters. And, Lisa, my wife, and I are reading a book, and I don't see anything bad about the book. It's called, I don't know if I can tell you what it's called. If I try to quote a title, I'm going to get it wrong, and of course then, you know, the lawsuits will come in, all kinds of heck will break loose. Who needs that? It's one about marriage something. It's not therapy, it's marriage, it's almost like marriage breakfast cereal or something, you know, marriage, I forget. Anyway, this guy's got this four-step plan to making your marriage fantastic. You know, he talks about how marriage kind of gets kind of bogged down and you know, you get wrapped up in all the things that have got to be done in life. And, you know, I for one think half the things that we do in life don't need to be done. But, you know, nobody asked me. That's okay. Anyway, Lisa found this book, and we're gonna work through it, the we that be, and well, we're gonna see how that goes. It's some, what is it, miracle marriage, and it's trademark, so it's like, you know, miracle marriage, the four-step plan. For only $19.95, well, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, well, okay, sure. And I'm not gonna say it's bad. Anytime I think you think about your marriage and you try to improve it, I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm having a great time because this guy has some really, really out there metaphors. You know, normally you would give people a metaphor that they can relate to, you know? And I found that almost every metaphor this guy has given either misses the mark. It's really not a metaphor for what he's trying to talk about. He'll tell you later what it's about, and you go, well, that's a crappy metaphor for that. Or it's a metaphor that's obscure to the point to where it's worthless to use it. It's like, you know, how the rhinoceros and the giraffe play on the Serengeti. And you go, I've never been to the Serengeti. I don't know how they play. Therefore, I don't understand your metaphor. I don't get it. Ah! Other than that, I think he's got an interesting take on it. He's actually, although he kind of makes it into any kind of other labor that you need to do, like if you want to get a promotion, you've got to work for it. If you want your wife to work for, you know, to love you, you're going to have to work for it. You know, and it's like, well, yeah, but guy, make it sound as unpleasant as possible. It's like, no, you must work hard for love. And it's like, but it's like, you know, and you're going to have a wonderful marriage after this. And you go, well, I guess. It's like having a wonderful bottom line. And I'm sorry, you know, money doesn't inspire me very much. So his whole tact on it, which I guess is to try to get a guy who loves and worships TV and beer to do, you know, it really is a kind of book that I think, it was written by a guy. It was written mostly for a female audience. And it's It's made to give women something to do to help make their love life better, or make them feel more loved, even when their husband's not really interested. You know, particularly. He's already made veiled references to the fact that all guys care about is having sex all the time. You know, hey, I'm a guy. I think I know a few things about that. Anyway, so, you know, and it was almost, you know, and I believe when we started this, I was kind of like, that was when I was in the non-player character. I don't want to call it a phase, but I was pondering the non-player character idea. And, of course, Lisa was just totally dead set against that. Said, no, Jay, no, it can't be right. I feel in my heart it can't be right. And it's like, okay, all right. You know, because I was sitting there thinking, I said, you know, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if a non-player character idea is right or wrong, because it still leads you to do the same basic thing. It just, I think, makes a little more sense to other people. You know, I go out and do service. Why? Because this isn't my world, and because it really doesn't have anything to do with me. It's all about other people. You know, and you go out and you serve other people. You want to make their world more pleasant for them because it has nothing to do with you. And that's okay, you know. So, you know, I guess I was applying that idea to marriage. And I don't know if my wife was really very happy about that because, you know, I think she struggles sometimes because she doesn't feel like our relationship maybe isn't reciprocal enough. And of course, since I'm a Zenith, that has a whole different meaning than normal. Most people get weird about it not being reciprocal in favor of them, you know. I give and I give and I give and I never get anything back. And the whole problem when it comes to having a relationship with a Zenith is that, you know, hopefully, at least in my case, I try to give and give and give and give and give. But my wife really doesn't have anything to give me. She, like, asks me, Jay, what do you want? And you go, I don't need anything. I'm fine. And it's just aggravating, right? Because she has a laundry list of things she wants, of needs that she needs taken care of by somebody else. And I'm trying to work, and I'm trying to do that. I think I'm doing a decent job. I'm not saying I'm doing a fantastic, you know, oh, he's perfect, he's a god, he's the god of love. I won't say the love guru, because I've heard that's a really disgusting video. Anyway, you know, it's not like that. You know, am I going to try to use this book to get a little bit better? Yeah, but I'm going to have fun with it the whole way, too, and say, what is that? What is that? You're having a conversation this morning. Now, I hope I don't get too personal, because I don't want at some point Lisa to listen to these and go, oh, Jay, you just crucify me constantly. That I was a bad wife or something. And go, no, it's not. But she was kind of, I thought that this was so funny, because this would not be a conversation normal people would be having. My wife is a local. She is normal, and I am not. So we have a whole, you know, you have different conversations than you would expect normal people to have. But she really tries to have normal conversations with me. When they fall on their face, you know, she's unhappy. You know, she's constantly being pulled out of her context into mine. I really try to let that go, you know, well, no. I really try to make it so that she doesn't feel uncomfortable. That's tricky because, you know, I have to live there too, and the place has to go more toward my needs just as much as it needs to go toward her needs. I'm not even there half the time. Anyway, so, I she was getting on to me because, she also wasn't saying they were our talks, you know. It's my talk. And, of course, that's a Asperger's trait. That doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it and try to listen to her and give her you know, she's more of a socialist about it, you know, she wants equal time. And it's like, okay, well, all right. Probably because, you know, we have the same radio station, and it ends up being the Jay Show, and that's not good. Lisa wants to air her. And I was bringing up incidents where I was listening to her, that I was doing it, but it just didn't seem to be enough, and I'm sorry. I want her to know that I'm sorry, you know, I'm going to try to do better. I'll try to do better. But also, you know, and she goes, we need to have more light conversation. And of course, I'm sorry. Light conversation to me is just a waste of breath. But it's like, okay, so I was trying to make up some light conversation. And she goes, oh, that's so stilted. You go, that's all I can do. I can't. What? You want me to talk about something that doesn't make any difference in the world? Oh, you know, and I said, don't those potatoes look particularly brown today? And she went, oh, that's so stilted. And I said, you want it to be about light little stuff that really doesn't matter. So all you talk about, Jay, is big, deep stuff. And I go, that's what I think about. That's what I care about is the big, deep stuff. I don't care about what color something is, unless the color makes, you know, it hotter or colder, and we don't want that. Everything has to be so deep. It's like, ah! So see, isn't that a weird conversation? Most people say, all we ever talk about is stupid little stuff that doesn't matter. We never talk about the big issues, you know. And the only problem is that's all Jay talks about is the big issues, and I guess I've weighed Lisa down so bad to the point that she can't hardly stand it, so. I'm sorry. You know, you could take this in a selfish way, and it would be easy. I think most people would, and that's not a good thing, you know, to say, you know what, she doesn't care about what I think, or she doesn't care about what I feel. You know, we want to talk about pink budgies and how we feel. She hasn't, I know she's noticed, but she doesn't like to think that when we go to the store and she's looking for some cute little thing like for the bathroom or something, you know, she's trying to pick something up or she asks my opinion about something. Do you like this color or this color? Do you like this style or that style? And it's like, Lisa, I could care less. I don't care. We have to hang up some towels. Let's get a towel rack. This is not an act of Congress, but yet it is. You know, I remember looking on the internet. I was looking for a nice over-the-table oil lamp for that kind of stuff. You typically have to go to marine stores. There's a few specialty places that actually specialize in this, and there's really beautiful ornate ones that cost nearly $1,000, and then there's cheap ones that cost like $30 that get used on you know, fishing boats in Indonesia or something. You know, and I was going for the one that just did the job. Hey, this does the job, you know. Throws out light, angles it down so you can put it over a table and you can see and you can read stuff, yada, yada, yada. Everything's great. You know. And, of course, that wasn't going to do. So we didn't end up getting any because the ones that Lisa wanted cost $1,000. And the one, and I didn't care, except for, we don't have the money, honey. I'm sorry. And, you know, those conflicts aren't the basis of love. You know, I don't love Lisa less. I mean, it's frustrating because she comes at things completely different than I do. Of course, she says, well then, oh, he's frustrated. He must not love me. And you're going, what? What kind of crap is that? Of course I love you. My love isn't based on the fact that you make my life a dream, okay? We have different ways of looking at things. I usually am very appreciative of the fact that Lisa adds a little bit of style to our life. Which if it was just me, you know, I'd be sitting on cardboard boxes. You know, I'd be, you know, I would be doing just what was required to make life happen, you know. And it wouldn't have anything to do with being beautiful or anything. In fact, I'd be getting down to trying to downsize, and I guess I do, downsize my house until it was more manageable from a maintenance standpoint. I didn't feel like I was constantly putting off necessary repairs. Because the thing has thousands of dollars worth of probably what's considered necessary repairs, and I don't got $1,000. So throw in a house, I've got to have food. You know, we have to pay utilities. The classic example of, I bought a house that almost immediately after buying it, I couldn't afford it. Of course, people do that all the time. But they normally take the tact of, hey, you know, I'll buy food, I'll pay my utilities, but I'll never pay my house payment, and maybe they'll forget I'm here. And see, I can't do that, so I have to try to fit it all in. And what usually happens is the stuff that I'm not required absolutely by law to do, which is do regular maintenance on a thing, you know. I guess that kind of has to do with, it's like dentistry. Lisa finally wrote me into going to the dentist, and I was torqued at her. She didn't give me any advance notice. She didn't do anything like that. You know, and I'm sorry, I didn't react very well. You know, but let me tell you, if I would have pulled that stunt on Lisa, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have heard the end of it for years. For years. You know, you did this to me once. And it's like, Lisa, that was 20 years ago. Doesn't matter. It just goes to your character. It's like, oh! Well, no, she doesn't say that. And I'm grateful. You know. Like most people, she tends to, you know, hang on to things. You know, if somebody did her dirty 50 years ago, she's, you know, it's never forgiven. It's never forgotten. You know. And she punishes lots of people for it. But see, I'm sorry. See, I'm painting a bad picture of my wife. I'm sorry. I'm just talking about the difference between normal people and Zenith people. Now, I'm not saying Zenith people are better. I'm just saying that we're really different. And the problem is, normal people always project normalcy on other people. You know, everybody's normal. Everybody feels exactly the way they do. Everybody has the same needs, the same requirements. And if they're not getting echoed back exactly what they think that they would do in that circumstance, you know, it always becomes the thing that they're disappointed about. Sure, right? You know, well, you must not be talking to me. You mustn't be telling me your feelings. So I get down to telling her feelings. I seem to recall earlier in her marriage, she was trying to drag my feelings out of me. So now that she has it, she doesn't want to hear them anymore. You know, like it's almost like Tukum Kiri. It's a sweet spot, right? Not too hot, not too cold. All the things I don't like about it are at least within tolerance level. You know, and far be it from us to try to improve things or try to make things a little more livable with our circumstances. Oh no, we have to stay right where we are, right in the place where we stand, because we're scared that if we do something else, it'll get worse, and I'll be unhappy. You know, as if happiness were this perfectly tuned recipe that you don't want to make any changes to. She's finally gotten all the ingredients and that she has available to her. I hope they last. I hope she's got enough food storage for them of all the ingredients she needs for her comfort, because golly, if we run out of one, I'm scared to say what she'll do. You know. See, I'm doing it again. Guy. I think I need to put this one away. It's not appropriate for public consumption. I'm just going to have to do that. All right. There is no 7... Which one was it supposed to be? 718. It's not going to be 718. Because I started to get into a Lisa ragging section. And the few times I tried to pull it out, it just fell back into it. And I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. So, there it is. You know? It's okay. As usual, I don't want to rag on Lisa individually. I think a lot of normal people do this. You know, Lisa's one of the normal people I know, so she gets the Appalachian local. You know, she's one of the models for it. You know, they get to have everything the way they want it, and the whole problem is, it isn't just their surroundings. It isn't just what touches them. It's everybody else around them. They also have to fit some kind of interesting mold. And when they don't, well, you know, you've got to change. You've got to change to appease, you know, they can always fall back on, well, this is what everybody says is the right thing to do. When it really ends up being a translation of, this is just what I want you to do. It's just convenient for them that most other people would probably agree with them. You know, oh, well, he can't be like that. You can't, you know, you aren't expected to live with that kind of a person. He needs to change. And it's like, yeah, I'm changing all the time. What are you doing? What are you doing here? It's not, you know, just like what I was talking about at the very beginning about being reciprocal. You know, and I said, well, we don't tend to be very reciprocal, you know. We do a whole lot of things that we don't expect of others, and here I am, you know, expecting other people to make as many changes as is demanded of me. And I don't, you know. I just say, you know what, it's your happiness. Quit trying to, you know, quit throwing it all on me. I'm not happy. And it's like, oh, good night. Well, I'm not happy either, but you know what? I change for you, and it's really annoying when you're not happy. I'm not happy. See, and Lisa's not like that. And when I do it, it makes her sound bad. And she's not. I love Lisa, you know? This wonderful thing talks about, this book talks about the fact that love, that if you base love on circumstances, it's not going to last. And obviously, I must be a pretty good indicator of that, because you know what? I don't ever have circumstances the way I want them. Yet, I'm with my wife. Yet, I sacrifice for what she thinks will get her happiness. It often doesn't. I'm not happy. Or whatever, you know, she really doesn't come out and say it. Come on. Most people don't do that. Most people are never really honest with anybody, you know. We're always coming up with excuses, sure. And I'm not saying that that's not a Zenith trait. That's a Zenith trait, too. I mean, we're human, I think. Maybe. I don't know. We may be non-player characters, too. I love her, even though sometimes it gets really frustrating. You know? And she gets upset. Well, you've given me an out. You said I could leave if it got too hard for you. And it's like, why are you getting upset about that? I'm giving you more options. I'm going to say, I'm not going to think badly of you. I've put you through crap. Just the very fact that I live and breathe causes you some angst and pain. Okay? And that's all I'm saying. Well, you don't love me. And you go, what? What does that mean? As far as I'm aware of, that's an ultimate offer of love is to say, I want your happiness, even if that happiness means that you have to find somebody else besides me. I want you to be happy. And it's always said, kind of, you know, I don't want her to leave. I don't want her to go anywhere particularly. But my hope is that in doing that, it's not just for selfish reasons, like, well, who would cook for me? You know, who would do the laundry? Or it's like, you know what, I think I've proven over time that yes, I can cook. I mean, it's not pleasant food. It's not wonderful. Lisa makes some pretty amazing stuff. You know, and I give her, you know, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the amazing stuff she does. And I think she gets really frustrated because she lives with a bunch of people that, you know, if you just made them hamburgers and beans and you know, plucked down a big old slab of warm tripe in front of them, that they would be just as happy. And I think that really bothers her because she's worked so hard to get good at this. And it's like, but nobody seems to really care. You know, it's like having a great French cook among a bunch of people that eat whale blubber, you know. A great French cook among the Inuit. They spend hours putting together this beautiful presentation and this meal. And the guys kind of look at it and give you this funny look, and then they go walk over, they shove their hand into some whale's gut, pull out a big old steaming pile of blubber, and they just go, and, you know, and of course the French person is just devastated. It's like, why did I bother going through all this work? And you go, I'm sorry, you know? My kids are kind of Zenith like I am. Shane has finally gotten to the point where she's grateful for food. You know, no matter what form that food takes. But see, that doesn't make Lisa feel any better either. You could put down any old kind of stool in front of Shayna, and she'd be grateful to have it because she would just came from a circumstance where she didn't have much food, and the food they gave you was so inadequate to what was happening. She was basically on a starvation diet and working like a dog, you know. She was basically given a crust of bread, glass of water, and then sent back out to keep laboring in the slave field, you know. And it's like, well, you know, but that doesn't make Lisa feel any better, the fact that more people are eating her food, because they aren't saying, oh, my life would be incomplete if I did not have this wonderful food that Lisa produces. And I've been honest with her a few times to say, Lisa, the food you make is wonderful, but you don't have to work so hard. You really don't. I said, I'd be very grateful with really simple things. But, you know, simple things just don't cut it. Even though her family would probably eat it more often, I think she would feel like she isn't doing her job or something. I'm really confused because when I try to say, well, you know, I think we'd all be happy with this job, and it's not what she does, you know, it's like, rah! Okay, this gives her, you know, this is both her fulfillment in life and her greatest agony is the fact that she can cook this really interesting, tasty, fun food. She'll spend hours on it. But when half of her kids turn up her nose, their noses at her food, because all they really want is, you know, a slab of beans, slab of, you know, slosh of beans, splat of rice, stuff like that, and off they go. You know, it's like, help. I can't help her with that. Any advice I would give just makes her more upset. So it's like, what do I do? Zenith and normal people together are a struggle on its own. Hmm. the relationship I have with Lisa works for me, you know. Now, I know I'm a Zenith and I'm extremely practical. Romance is not a part of my wiring, you know. As I said, most things that happen get misconstrued, you know. He even said, "Oh, Jay, that was so romantic." And you go, "I wasn't doing it for the romance sake. I was doing it for something else." But that's not the issue. At least not for her. You know, local people are so immensely complicated. They have their emotions so wrapped up in what gets given to them. You know, physically, you know, monetarily, jewelry and things like that. Things that they consider to be thoughtful. And I've worked really hard, I think, to try to come her way, which is great. Because she doesn't need to come my way particularly. You know, I'm okay. There may be some things that really irk me, but that's my problem. That's what I need to just live with. Because this isn't my world. You know, this place was not built for me. I'm essentially a non-player character. I'm here to fulfill some role, and it isn't here to be a complete person that has all of these complicated needs. I'm not one of those people particularly. I don't sleep until I'm tired. If I don't get enough sleep, I have horrible headaches and there's pain involved. So I try not to get to that point to where I get tired. Because if I am, well then there's that. You know. It's gotta be sad for Lisa. You know. She wants to go out and spend time together. She asks me, "Jay, what do you want to do?" And I say, "I don't care. You want to go out somewhere. You pick where we go." And see, that ruins it right there. But she also knows when I just say something like, let's go to the store. You know, she knows that it's not because I want to go to the store. It's because I'm trying to figure out what she wants to do, and I've done a poor job as usual. Or it's falling into a rut because I don't know. I don't have any needs that way. I remember as a young, very young teenager, I was going to school at a place called Shallowwater High School. And there was a girl that kind of glommed on to me. Oh, I don't want to say that, because that makes it sound like it was bad. I don't know if she thought of me as her boyfriend. I don't know I don't know what kind of relationship she was having, okay? I don't know how she interpreted it. Girls always fall into this. I don't care if they're normal Zenith in relation to normal boys or normal Zenith or Zenith guys. You know, it really isn't. I think there's a universal there where women really don't. Women make this, you know, fantasy magic castle world, and they just expect men to react to it and to have the same needs as they do, and we don't. Or at least I don't. I don't know if that's a Zenith or just a guy trait. It could be a little bit of both. I think Zenith makes it even worse. Or at least makes that circumstance worse. Anyway, I don't know what this girl was after. You know, and girls rarely ever say what they're after. They just get really frustrated when the circumstance that they have arranged for doesn't give them what they were hoping for. And they rarely tell you what they're hoping for. I don't know if they know themselves. Anyway. So, women. Anyway. I went over to her house because her dad and I had a shared obsession. He was a computer guy, and I was kind of a budding computer guy. This is the first time I really had real contact with computers. It's where I learned it from Don Campbell. Anyway, but I would go over there, and they'd invite me over, and I think they were trying to set me up with this daughter. I don't know. I think the mom might have been trying to do that. I have a clue. Anyway, I would just be sitting there, I think. See, I don't really remember what I was up to. As usual, I have a poor memory. But I'd end up massaging her feet, stuff like that. And it really, I don't know if it meant anything to me. I mean, there was probably kind of the dynamic sensual tension that kind of was kind of a visceral thing there that I got into. I don't know. But I was always wondering, what's she thinking about all this? Does she think I'm her boyfriend? I'm not really sure. She bought me this t-shirt that she had custom made for me. If I bought you a shirt, what would you like to have on it? So I told her, and that's what she put on it. I wore it to school a bit. I think I actually wore the thing out. I don't know what she was after, but I think she was at least getting a little bit of what she needed. And it was like, well, okay. I think it's a boy-girl thing. I don't think it's a Zenith normal thing. I think it's exacerbated a bit by the fact that not only are you a man, but you're also a Zenith too. You know, and that doesn't make the communication any more ready, because now it's really off the chart. You know, everything girls ever were taught about what makes boys happy, which is beer and football, I guess, for a lot of guys, you know. Guys always come to me and try to talk about sports as if that matters. And I like the fact that somebody that I didn't think knew me very well all of a sudden came up and said, "Dave, if you care less about sports." And it was like, yeah, yeah. You know, and women like that. It's like, oh boy, here's a guy that doesn't get all wrapped up in his own stuff. And you go, well, I do to a point. It's just different stuff. My wife still says I play video or computer games too much. And I think I haven't been sat in front of a video game more than 2 hours in the last 6 months. And I mean total, 2 hours for 6 months. But yet, you know, I did a lot more previously. But she told me it was a problem, that she didn't like it, that I need to spend more time with her. And so I've been trying to do that. And, you know, and I don't expect her to get really, you know, for her attitude about it to change a ton, you know. I don't expect her to acknowledge the fact that I'm doing all this. I don't expect her to, you know, express a ton of gratitude directly at, oh, Jay, I'm so grateful you spent so much more time with me lately. Thank you. It's mostly just a general, she feels a little bit better. But it seems like, well, no, I'm not going to say that. Okay, so, I'm going to go ahead and keep this, because this is men-women thing that's good to talk about, I think, sometimes. I want you guys to know how much I love my wife. The things I do are for her to be happy. Of course, when she's happy, I can't but be happier. Life goes better. Just like I was saying in the last episode or a few episodes back, about the basic rule around our house is keep mom happy. Because it does. If she's happier, everything else goes better. Less yelling happens. Everything's just kind of better, more sedate, more laid back. You know, when she feels like she's got a handle on things. Someday I'm going to talk to her about meals and say, Lisa, I know you do a fantastic job, and I know that doing a good job with meals really means a ton to you. But just for your sanity's sake, if you cook more like the... I was bringing it up today to my son, which one, Sam or Caleb? Probably Caleb. Happened to bring home the calendar of what the cafeteria at school was going to be cooking. And, you know, cafeteria food it's okay. It's not inspiring, you know. You're not going to have cordon bleu very often unless it comes frozen and it's cheap. And you can just stick it in a big old tray, in a big old oven tray, stick it in the oven for a while. And you've got, you know, you aren't going to have great cooking. You're just going to have food. Stuff that will keep you on your feet. Stuff that has basic nutritional requirements handled. You know? I was talking to Kale, and I said, oh, look, there's the thing. And I said, Kale, do you like the food at school? He goes, uh-huh. I said, do you eat the food at school? Uh-huh. And I went, well, then why don't you eat your mother's food? And, of course, he wasn't going to answer that. Lisa was right there. I was kind of him, I guess. I hope it's working out. I hope it wasn't just that he just chose not to pay attention anymore because he knew this was going to lead to something he needed to do better. You know. But then it came to me. It's like, wait a minute. If Lisa just cooked the same way that those silly twits I don't want to call them silly twits. That's silly. The same way they cook food over at the school, which doesn't require much effort at all. Most of the effort comes in just the quantity you have to crank out. It doesn't come from the actual act of cooking itself. It's just having to deal, you know, most of your time is spent in serving and cleaning up. Which has hopefully gotten out mostly off of Lisa's plate, you know. The kids do better cleaning their, you know, doing their dishes, at least when I'm around. I can't speak to when I overnight somewhere. I don't know if Lisa just handles it and is really frustrated. No, I do know, or at least I've known what happened in the past, because, you know, she would come in frustrated. She'd go, we have to change how, you know. No, I would end up saying that. I would see her frustrated. Lisa lets herself get really intensely frustrated, and then she explodes. And that's not good. So I try to see problems before she is so frustrated she starts screaming at people, telling them how unhappy she is. Lisa's got a, you know, and I think it's a female trait. I'm not gonna pick on her. I think a lot of women are like this because I don't think it's a man trait. I don't see men doing this particularly. Men are usually the type of people that try to tell you exactly what they want. Women are people who drop hints, have expectations, and then when they give you 1,000 years of not saying a word, maybe of you know, using the piercing eyes, pursing your lips, you're unhappy, but you're not willing to say what you're unhappy about. Guys are supposed to clairvoyantly know this. Then all of a sudden it explodes one day. Bleah! You know, it's not just that. It's not just, I expected you to do dishes on Tuesdays. And you go, you never told me. We never got down to actually saying it. We may have talked about it a little bit, but there was never a final decision made. I needed a decision. It needed to be decisive. And it doesn't end up just being that. It ends up being everything. I don't know you anymore! It's like, oh, gracious, you know? And it's just like this is built up. Women just tend to internalize pain until they just can't take it one second more. The only problem is they wouldn't have had the pain in the first place if they just would have said, you know what? I asked you to do this. Could you please do it? And then it's like, oh, yeah, sure. I just have to know what you want. And that's just, I think, normal male-female type of relations stuff. Men have to try and read what women are saying. Women have to actually say what they want to see before they take a knife and try to kill you with it. And yeah, like I was saying, I said, I don't think it's a Zenith trait, but I do know that being a Zenith exacerbates it horribly. I remember some guy was saying that he thought that autism was kind of like a man's disorder. You're too manly. I don't mean buff. I don't mean what you would normally equate with maleness, I guess. But those attributes that make women crazy, not what men do, but how men are more intense with autistic. And I can see that because this is one of those things. You know, if your wife never liked football because, you know, that was a man thing and she wasn't a man, you know, that's cool. That's all right. You know, I've noticed that about a lot of women, or some women that I run into. They have really gotten into sports. And I don't know if that's an accommodation thing. If I want to spend time with my husband, I'm going to have to get into his stuff. My wife would never do that. She would never spend any amount of time appeasing a man. It's not part of her nature. She would not sit there and watch football to spend time with her husband. It's definitely his job to sacrifice for her. You know, and that's why I say, you know what, I think Lisa and I are a pretty decent match. Perfect? No. But a pretty decent one. I think God, as matchmaker on this one, did a decent job given Lisa. Lisa's very, very, very strong-willed about what she wants. And as a nice counterpoint, I'm a Zenith. I'm not. You know? I mean, I've got my ideas, seeking for truth, yada, 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 but it never really translates into actions, particularly, except on a very personal level. Like, I'm not going to start the next American Revolution, even though I may talk about it sometime. I'm not going to do it because I'm just a thinker. I'm just kind of an academic, you know. This is what should happen. And they go, well, then why don't you just do it? And you go, you know what, I don't want to do it. I'm not interested in that. I don't want, you know, I don't know if I'm inspirational or not. Obviously, I'm not, or else I'd have a better following on my podcast. You know, I must not be that. And in truth, I'm sorry, people can give a flying fig, most of them, especially normals, locals. Give a flying fig about truth, you know. It's all about comfort and money and stuff like that. Especially when it comes to local guys. Local guys are probably the easiest people to appease. You know. My problem is, I come up with all these wonderful things, whether they're right or not, I hope they're right. I'm always striving to find truth, but I'm willing to entertain some pretty interesting ideas and different avenues of existence. Not existence, really, but different avenues of how one could approach what's the right thing. I'm constantly frustrated because when I do this, I think that's all I should have to do. I should just have to tell you what to do. And other people who are more, you know, Action Jackson sort of folks, more take an idea and run with it all the way as far as you can, I expect those people to do it. You know, and they say, well, why don't you do it? And you go, well, why does it have to be me? I came up with the idea. Why do I? Well, nobody else wants to do it. It's like, well, then that's because you guys are stupid. Oh, we like the way it is fine. That's where local gets it in the way of a lot of things that need to happen. Is that locals are perfectly happy with the way things are. Oh, it doesn't bother me any. Hey, man. You know, socialism's a wonderful thing because it gives them more money without them having to get up out of their easy chair. Oh, I'm going to make it all. The government just sends me a check for just sitting here. Cool, man. You know, kind of the sloppy social welfare state, which we've been wanting to get more and more people involved in because that makes the Democrats more and more in power. Not to get partisan here, but it's true. Okay, so it's just really interesting. Like this book that Lisa wants to work on. That's fine. Am I interested? I said, you know, when it gets down to it, oh, you know, I brought up the whole story about that girl that I used to massage her feet because she would ask me questions, you know. I don't know what she was doing. She was asking questions. Whatever she was after was whatever she was after. And, of course, that really offends women horribly. You know, we're supposed to be together. And you go, how can I be together? I don't know where you are. I don't know where you want to go. And you won't say. I'm supposed to do a mind meld with you without touching you, probably. so that I can understand you. And it's like, okay, you know, and you can't. So we're reading this marriage book, yes. Now, I'm not saying it's got bad ideas in it. I think this guy is trying to channel women, you know. He knows what his audience is going to be. You know, every single despondent woman who's sad because men don't seem to understand how they're feeling. I'm sure this book is supposed to give them solace and some tricks to use to try to eke some happiness out of the situation. Feel better, a little bit. Of course, it's mostly about, first, honey, you read this book, and then you get your husband to read it. You guilt him into reading it. Now, I'm not feeling guilty. I want Lisa to be happy. I'm frankly skeptical if this book will help any. Because I frankly think it's kind of funny. Given what Lisa's been telling me lately. And she always, you know, she's always going, well, I don't ever have a chance to get a word in edgewise. And you go, wait a minute. Well, then how come I have heard so much and I know so much about you from your own lips? How come I know all this? When I say, yes, you feel this way, and yes, you feel this way. And it's like, yes, Jay, I do. It's like some great revelation. I said, Lisa, you have been talking, and I've been listening. I'm sorry if I talk more than you do. I'm sorry. I'll try. I've been trying to shut up for a variety of reasons for months, years. I find that when I try, she thinks I'm angry at her. And so she goes up, she goes, tell me what you're thinking. And it's like, I'm not thinking anything. You wanted me to be quiet more so you could talk. Now that I'm quiet, you're worried. Ah! Do women just not know what they want? You know, they're going for some kind of happiness that's so elusive. It doesn't matter how hard they work to get it, they're never going to get it. You know? And it's like, is God going to change women at some point and make it so that all of a sudden they're okay? Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so. But that really doesn't matter, you know. I'm trying to make Lisa happy, and I'm finding out that asking Lisa what makes her happy isn't terribly useful. She doesn't really know. And that's not to say, boy, is she dumb. So no, man, she's as far as I am aware of, she's reasonably typical. I don't know. The woman I spend the most time and interface the most with is my wife, which is the way it should be, right? So yeah, I can't compare her to other women. I don't know other women particularly. Women are an absolute. I mean, I don't understand. That's okay. I don't think I really ever will. So I try to make her happy. The fact that in trying to make her happy, half the time I make the situation worse. And so I just go, well, then I'm not going to get involved. Well, that makes her even more angry. Well, you're so distant. And it's like, oh, God. So let me make up your mind. When I'm engaged, you're angry because I'm engaged wrong. And when I tell you, well, what do I need to do better, you just go off in a huff because you're frustrated. Because I can't reach into your soul and see what you yourself don't know, except that you're unhappy. And it's like, well, maybe you need to take a pill or something. Or maybe it's just chemistry. I don't know. And I'm not talking about just my wife. I'm talking about a lot of people that way. Ah! Anyway, so. I don't know if I've saved this podcast. I don't know if I'm going to ultimately throw it away. I don't know. Chances are, if I let the number sit on it, the number 71, what is this one? This is 718. 718. If I let the number sit on it, it's going to get published probably anyway. So maybe I'll just do it, trusting the fact that hardly anybody listens to it. And that in this, I am somewhat safe. It's just like, I don't want to read my wife's journal because, you know, I know that it probably talks about a lot of my faults and a lot of my problems. And you know what? I know I've got them. I might not know what they are. And it's very painful to bring them up, you know? Nobody wants to really be strongly critiqued. And so I don't want to know. I don't think I'll ever read her journals. I'll let God read her journals, and he can judge me based on that. You know? Because, hey, I'm a non-player character. This is not my world. This world was not built for my happiness, for anything to do with me. I am here to fulfill a role. As far as I'm aware, I was built to try and help Lisa eke out what little happiness she can get out of life. It's all about Lisa. Okay? So, there it is. How she feels about me, unfortunately, is something that the only thing I can do is try to change so that she'll stop feeling that way about me. Of course, I know that when I make the change, it's just going to be an instigation of, you know, well, now I'm really unhappy with him because I don't think I'm seeing the real him. He's just reflecting what he thinks I want, and, you know, and that makes her upset. And I keep trying to convince her, Lisa, quit trying to deal with me like I'm a full-fledged person, and I have needs and wants that I'm just not talking about. I said, I talk about myself and how I perceive the world and all that stuff ad nauseum. It makes people crazy. I said, but that's really the only kind of information I have that's really, you know, that's really that people consider honest. Well, what are your feelings? And it's like once I start talking about my feelings, people start telling me, well, please shut up. We don't want to hear about your feelings anymore. And it's like, well, then why did you ask? And then it's like, oh, well, no, you're just upset. It's like, oh, God. Yeah, I'm upset. Quit asking me to do one thing and then get angry at me when I start doing it. People go, well, JG, if you base your happiness on her happiness and she's not happy, then, you know, you're projecting. You're projecting. You're unhappy, so you're blaming her that you're unhappy. And you go, I'm not unhappy. I'm trying not to be unhappy. I'm just trying to understand. I don't know. It's just frustrating. You know, and people will say, well, you know, she has to find her own happiness and you have to find yours. And you go, you know, I'm a non-player character. I'm trying to be honest. You know, boy, I feel like that's a cop-out. And you go, oh, okay, fine. You know what? Okay. I'm going to pee all over the floor because it makes me happy. You know, nothing makes me happy. I'm a non-entity. I'm like that guy you meet in the text adventure who points his finger in a direction when you ask him the right question or tells you the magic words when you ask the right way. That's what Jay is. I'm a tool to accomplish something. So that's it. People say, well, there's got to be something underneath there. You've got to have wants and hopes and dreams. And you go, I don't have any of that stuff. None. Okay? I don't know if that's a Venus trait or what it is. There's just nothing down there. That's why, you know, Lisa gets really upset when I talk about, you know, I'm not really sure I have a soul. You know, and I've heard other people say that. And I don't think it was because they had come up with the idea first. I mean, I felt like, you know, I go, you know what? I said, I see other people and they chase after their dreams. They get frustrated when things don't go their way. And you go, honestly, I don't have a way to get frustrated about not getting there. You know, I don't have that. Because my chief frustration is that I'm here to serve you, and in that service, it just doesn't seem to, you know, you don't seem to be getting happy. And it's like, so I try to manufacture things that Lisa can go, oh, good, I found something that Jay, you know, so, but it's really easy. I'm really transparent. That's another one of my big problems, apparently, is I'm too transparent. Because when I do that, she immediately knows, you're just doing that. And it's like, I'm doing it to make you happy. Well, it's not making me happy. It's like, oh, God. So, yeah, the last thing I offer is, hey, you know what? If it's totally impossible, if I'm not human enough to make you happy, Lisa, you can feel free to go and find somebody that is human enough. And I will take all the blame. I will say I was a rotten person. I will if you want me to say that I beat you, if you want me to say that, you know, anything that you need so that you look like a wonderful person, you look like you were, you know, that I was mean to you, and so that you can feel justified for having left me, or whatever, leaving me with the kids or something. You know, if you need to put the kids in foster care, because very important that they don't stay with me, because if they stay with me, something, you know, it doesn't work well for the story, that's fine. Okay? I don't mind sacrificing for that. Heck, under normal circumstances, I'd be in an insane asylum anyway. You can even be honest about that. I didn't know who I was marrying. We need to put him in an insane asylum, and then I can go out and find somebody else. But I know she doesn't want to, because there's a lot of attributes about me that she really likes. And I think a lot of them just have to do with the fact that I live to serve her. So it's this weird little issue that I, you know, that frankly I don't think I can help her with. You know? Can I help you at all? I can't put this on the podcast. If anybody ever heard this and it ever got back to Lisa, I'd never hear the end of it. Not because it wasn't true, but because I shouldn't have said it to other people. So there it is. So this isn't the life autistic, although it actually is. It is the concept of living an autistic life, but it's not going to be in the podcast. We'll put another number on this, and happy days. It's going to be great. This is Jay Nemro. Getting through. I finally, you know, I figured out what I was going to do. I can't say it's a wonderful thing to do, but it's what I've chosen, and I'm going to stick with it, because maybe someday it'll do good. You know, serving another person, maybe the biggest service of all is just taking care of Lisa. Giving her what she wants. Well, I don't know. If, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so this is Jay Nemro. This is going to be one of the quasi-indefatigable Zenlith recordings, which are more private, and mostly I think my children may someday stumble upon them, and then they can say, wow, that was interesting. I'm sure the psychologists have a field day telling me that I wasn't, you know, that I was wrong, that all this stuff, you know. And that's fine. Whatever. Never really listened to those people anyway. You know, they were mostly a political group anyway, going after whatever interesting pop science idea was going at the time. Anyway, so this is Jay Nemro. An hour later, have a great day.